morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks for being with us here today. We still are in the midst of our COVID-19 crisis across Canada and across the world, and we want to continue to pray that God would work during this time, and that God would give wisdom to the leaders, and God would just be with us in the midst of this, as it's dragged on probably longer than many of us would have ever imagined. And so we want to pray that God would bless us during this time, and that God would also give wisdom to those who are in the midst of leading this. And so let's just take a moment right now and to pray for these things and lift them up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the technology that allows us to be able to still meet in the midst of this crisis. And Father, we want to pray for those that are in leadership making decisions, whether they be doctors or politicians, that Father, you would be guiding them and giving them wisdom and direction. Father, we do want to pray for those that are on the front lines of this, for nurses and for doctors, and that Father, you would just encourage them, give them strength, and to help them to be able to perform their duties to the best of their ability. And Father, we want to pray for those that have been affected by it, whether that they have got sick themselves or a loved one has been lost. Father, we pray that you would be close to those families. And Father, for the rest of us who have been affected by staying at home, and for some it's caused anxiety and difficulty. And Father, we pray that in the midst of this, you would give us strength, that the peace of God would be ours, and Father, that you would guide and direct our every step. And for we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we also want to say on this day, Happy Mother's Day to all the mums that are tuned in this morning. We want to pray God's richest blessing on you. And we're going to take a moment and watch a video together. I love the skit guys, and this one is from them. It's called Mom Goggles. So moms, enjoy. Happy Mother's Day.
Are you guys sure you've got this?
Yeah. The twins are plugged in. Baby's asleep. How hard can this get?
We're men. Besides, I bumped into Chuck Norris at a Pizza Hut once. I think his power's rubbed off on me.
Get out of here. Go on, enjoy your mommy getaway weekend.
Oh, this weekend was a bad idea.
You remember what happened last time we watched the kids?
I'm not a pinata!
Get it off me! Get it off me!
Yeah, we're gonna need help.
Warning, use of this product may alter your perception of reality. All right, everything looks the same. This is a joke.
Guys, it's like the Sahara in this cup. Can somebody hit me with some juice? And listen, pulp, no pulp, doesn't make a difference to me. You're the ones dealing with the diaper.
Mom goggles!
It's
beautiful!
Okay, sweetie, I need you to sit on your bottom. Listen to Daddy and sit on your bottom, okay? Daddy's gonna come get you. Don't move. Don't dance. Just sit on your bottom. Daddy's gonna come get you.
Whoa! Don't you try to stop me.
Baby made a poopy. Yes, you did.
Where are your mom goggles?
They wouldn't fit over my hazmat suit.
Take this.
Oh, oh. So cute.
And then the little boy rocked his mommy. Oh, I love you forever. I like you too. I don't know how they do it.
Oh, well, you take it and you fold it from corner to corner.
No, I'm asking the question, how do moms do all of this? How do they handle it all?
Well, maybe they have goggles we don't know about.
It's as if God gave moms a special way of looking at things, you know? Okay, who taught you servanthood? Who modeled grace? Who gave you a taste of what God's love could look like?
My mom, Mr. T, and my mom.
Anyway, I just think God gave moms a special way of looking at things. Hey, honey.
Hey, how's it going at home?
It's all good. Guess you could say I'm starting to catch a glimpse of what your world looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mama.
Hold on, your daughter wants to say something to you.
I did, Mama.
She says she misses you. And she realizes how important you are in her life. And she doesn't know how you do it. And she knows that she can't make it without you.
She said all that, huh?
I don't know if she said it. But it's what I wanted to say. And I should have said it a lot sooner. I thank God for you.
The twins.
It was nothing. We have to go, okay? Love you, Mommy.
This place is like a pigsty.
Again, happy Mother's Day to the mums, and we pray that you would have a great day. Whether you can just celebrate in your own household or you're calling people, that you would just have a wonderful day. Well, we want to just give you some announcements of different things. Not a whole lot going on, again, because of the COVID-19 crisis, that many events have been canceled, and we've been getting updates on different events. Those that are involved with Camp ABK, I got an email this week that all their programming is canceled. Camp Mishawa is still on a wait and see. But wouldn't be surprised if we would get a cancellation notice. And so we'll try to keep you update as much as possible on these things, and just to keep you updated on these events. If you would like to give to the ministry of Calendar Bay Church, there's a couple ways that you can do that. Thank you again for all who have supported Calendar Bay Church in this way, whether it be through online giving or whether it be through just mailing your gift in. Thank you so much. Your faithfulness is keeping us going during this time. And so you can give online by going to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca, and go to the About tab, and you can Click that and it'll give you some options on how you can give online. Also, you can just mail your gift directly to us and we'll pick it up at the post office. And thank you to everybody who has been contributing to the ministry of Calendar Bay Church. We've been doing some different ways of keeping connected during this time. One of the ways is through our Facebook page and group. And you can just go on Facebook and join those groups. And then we post various things each day. Just a way to kind of keep you connected and give you an opportunity to post different things. We do a bit called Calendar Bay Connects. Usually there's a question each week. And you can have the opportunity to be able to share some of your responses to that. And so you can do that through Facebook. Most of the things that we do post on Facebook, we also put together in a daily email, which we send out 6 times a week, called the Daily Encouragement. Thanks again to Monique Avery, who has been putting that together for us. And a great way to kind of stay connected. And if you know somebody that would really like that, either you can forward that email or you can contact us and we will put them on the mailing list. And so you can do that by contacting info@calendarbaychurch.ca. Prayer requests are still being received. Our prayer chain, which you can send prayer requests to, is prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca. Or you can send it to info@calendarbaychurch.ca or call us, and we will pray for those requests. We also have another group who meets together by phone, and you can send your requests, and we will pray for those as well. Each week we put together a worship playlist to help you to be able to worship. And so usually what I do, and I've told you this before, is that I listen to it as I'm waiting for the service to begin. And that way it gives me a great worship experience on the theme, and you can just enjoy that. And or you can use it at different points during the week to kind of remind you of some of the things. Or if you're working with your kids, you can put it on in the background. And that way you can just have a great worship experience in your own home. We have also a couple different online resources that we've been posting. The one is the Discovery Bible Study, which is for the kids. And so it's just a little lesson. There's usually a coloring page and another activity that you can use. And so just as during this time where we're not getting together, it's great to be able to have these resources in order to be able to help you in laying good spiritual foundations in the lives of your kids. We've also been posting some helpful articles to help resource you as parents. I've written a couple articles. Patricia has written a few as well. And so you can enjoy those and go to calendarbaychurch.ca. If you missed a message, you can get caught up on that, or you can read some of the great articles that are there as well. We've also started posting our small group curriculum there. And so if you just want to have a small group on your own to further discuss the message, you can call a family member and discuss it on the phone, or maybe you can just sit around with your older children around the supper table, and then you can just have some of those interactions as well. And so those resources are available at our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca. Well, during this time, it has been great to know that we still have hope in Christ. And so we want to sing about that hope. This is what it says in 1 Peter 1:3. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so let's sing together, Living Hope.
Finished, the end is written.
Amen. Thank God for the living hope that we have in Christ. Well, we're continuing on a series of messages looking at Jesus and who is this man. And so we've been looking at some of the unpredictable impact that Jesus had. And Jesus is often very misunderstood. And we've been looking at some of the things that have really kind of stood out from Jesus's life. And so we looked at how Jesus viewed greatness, and that was last week. And then a couple weeks ago, we looked at Jesus's value system. What did he value? And today we want to look at Jesus's view on us and them. Now, oftentimes we as human beings are very quick to divide ourselves into the people that are similar to us, that's the us, and then those the others that are out there, and that's them. And so we want to take a closer look at what Jesus taught in regards to us and them. We're going to take a look at a scripture passage from Matthew chapter 5. And so if you have your Bible, you can follow along, or it'll be on the screen. And so you can just take a look there. So Matthew 5, looking at verses 43 to 48. This is what it says. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And then it continues on, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so Jesus begins to lay a framework here of some of his teaching about us and them. And so what was Jesus's point in that passage of scripture? Well, number one, that he tells us what the world teaches in regards to us and them. And so he says, the world teaches us love neighbors. So the people that we know and we like, love those people. But the other people, we should hate those people. And that was a very common form of thinking. It was actually a part of that was actually quoting a Greek philosopher who said, love neighbors, love those people that you know, and hate those other people. And so that's kind of where the world teaches. And this, you can see this evident all around us, that we still kind of buy into that type of thinking. But Jesus teaches the opposite, love neighbors and love enemies, and actually goes so far as to say not just love them, but also pray for them. So love your enemies. And so Jesus's thinking is completely opposite to that which is being taught by the world. The world says, love neighbors, hate enemies. Jesus says, love your neighbors. That's a good thing. But also love your enemies. And when you do that, this scripture tells us that you will be like God. You'll be like your heavenly Father if you take up that kind of thinking and that kind of behavior. Love your neighbors, love your enemies. That's what God is like. And then it goes on and he continues. And he tells us that the sun shines and the rain falls on everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. That the sun's going to shine on you and the rain's going to fall. Doesn't matter whether you're righteous or unrighteous, good, bad, this, that. Doesn't matter. Everybody's human experience is exactly the same. And so the sun is going to shine on you and the rain is going to fall. We are all exactly the same. And then he talks about the fact that everybody loves friends. That's just normal. That's normal behavior. So there's nothing extra special about doing that kind of behavior because it comes natural to us. If we love people, we do nice things for them. And so that is natural thinking. As Jesus says, even tax collectors do that kind of behavior. And so in that day and age, they were a bit of the them crowd. And so it was just something that they would do as well. So there's nothing really special about that behavior. And so the scripture tells us that we need to be perfect like God is perfect. And so God calls us to a higher standard as far as our behavior goes. And so the higher standard is that not only do you love your neighbors, you also have to love those that you have a problem with, that you struggle with, that are different than you are, that have different beliefs than you are, that have different behaviors than you are. And so here we find Jesus is beginning to lay down a foundation of teaching about us and them behavior. And so Jesus, another word for them, is those that are from the other side. You know, we often talk about, well, they're from the other side of the tracks. You know, that they were not from the right neighborhood. And so Jesus tells a story about going to the other side. Now, here's the story around it. Now, Jesus is doing some ministry. The ministry is going well. And he has a very big crowd that comes to hear him, so big that Jesus actually has to sit in a boat in order to be able to teach them. And so Jesus is out on the boat. Everybody else is on the shore. And so Jesus is doing this because things are going pretty well. Then that day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, very bluntly, let's go over to the other side. Now that's recorded in Mark 4:35. Now that doesn't sound like it's really that big of a deal. Jesus is on one side of the lake and tells his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Now that doesn't sound like much, depending on what's on the other side of the lake. Now on the other side of the lake was the other side, which was the Decapolis. Now the Decapolis was, as you can see, deca is a form of 10. So the Decapolis was 10 cities. Now that 10 cities was made filled with everything that Israel was not. So here they're on the one side of the lake where it's Israel. They believe the same things. They're the people that they would want to hang around with. And so this is what's on the one side of the lake. On the other side of the lake is the Decapolis. And it's everything, represents everything that the Jewish people didn't like. That's on the other side. It was dark. It was evil. It was oppressive. And it was demonic. This is what's on the other side of the lake. And going on, it was settled by the 7 tribes of Canaan there. And so that's recorded in Joshua 3:10. And if you take a look at that, there's a name of 7 different tribes that ended up settling. And these were the Canaanite people. And then you get like the Hittites and the Philistines and those type of people. And this, so this is where they ended up afterwards. And it was also the center of Roman power during that time. In Jesus' time, on the other side of the lake was where the Roman people had established their outpost. And so stationed there was a legion of soldiers. A legion was about 6,000 soldiers, and so they were all stationed over there as well. So you have this place which is a dark place, which is the exact opposite of what the Israelites believed. And so you have this bad, awful place. And this is where Jesus tells his disciples that they're going to go land. And so what happens when they get on the other side? Well, they are greeted by one guy. One guy comes up and meets them as they are landing on the other side. And it is a single, deranged, tormented, tomb-dwelling, self-mutilating demoniac. So this is not it was a full representation of everything that the Jewish people would not want to have is who they meet as they get on the beach on the other side. There's only one guy, and so they meet him. This is a guy who is even on the evil side of the lake has been thrown out because of his all the things that they were was wrong with him. They had tied him with chains or bound him with chains, and he'd broken out of that, and he now lived in a cemetery on the other side of the lake. The guy's name is Legion, which is interesting because the Romans were stationed there, and so there was a legion of Romans that was there. And here we have a man who is possessed by so many demons that they nickname him Legion, because there are just so many. And if you think about that, that's like 6,000. And so that's the nickname that this guy got, was Legion. And what happens on the other side of the lake is that Jesus does something miraculous. Now, the miraculous thing was is that he sets this man free. The demons that are in him negotiate that they're going to get put into some pigs. And so when that happens, the pigs dive into the water and they kill themselves. And so the people who are watching the pigs, now even the fact that there was a pig farm, which Jewish people didn't like pigs, they didn't eat pork or any products like that. And so here we have these demons going into pigs, they're diving into the water, the people who are watching the pigs end up being completely freaked out about it. And they go and tell other people about what just happened down on the beach. And so the response of everybody else on the other side, when this miraculous thing happens to this man, this legion, who was a tormented individual, demon-possessed, wild, crazy, God completely transforms and changes his life. And the scripture tells us that there he is, he's cleaned up, and he's in his right mind. And so what happens on the other side? News spreads fast, because everybody probably knew who he was. So here you have this individual that everybody knew, ooh, don't go there, that's where Legion is. Everybody knew about him, and so when they find out that something's happened to him, news spreads fast. But an interesting response. They actually tell Jesus to go away. They don't embrace him. On the other side of the lake, when Jesus began to heal people, other people started bringing their sick, but they didn't hear. They said, would you just go away? Now, it could be because of they was wrecking their economy. All these pigs got thrown in the water. That was their livelihood. So they're thinking, maybe this is wrecking our economy. But whatever the case is, Jesus, they tell him to go away. Could be because Jesus is powerful and he's also from the wrong side. Jesus isn't from there. He is, to them, them. And so here we have Jesus on the other side of the lake doing something incredible, but they send him away because he's not from them. And so in the story, Legion begs Jesus to take him with him. You know, would you please take me with you wherever you go? Because this guy's life has been transformed and changed. And now the guy who helped him, everybody else who's his friends is trying to send him away. And so Jesus, instead of doing what you would think would be normal, but instead of saying, follow me, which has been Jesus's normal path so far, when he was calling his disciples, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me. And this one, he doesn't tell him to follow him. He says, stay here and tell your story. Stay here, tell your story. Now, the rest of the story is really, really interesting. It's recorded in Mark 6, 55 to 66. So a continuation of the story found in Mark 6. So Jesus, at a later point, returns to the Decapolis, returns to this 10 cities. And so he goes again to the other side. But this time, the response is very different. Crowds and ministry come from everywhere. And so Jesus has come over to the other side, and this time when he comes, because Jesus left one guy behind, everything has changed. This one guy who Jesus said, tell your story, is the only thing that's been left behind. And when he comes now to the Decapolis, they are bringing out, they're sick, they're bringing out those that have problems. And Jesus is having incredible ministry because Jesus left one man behind to tell his story. Because they realized, because of the healing of Legion, that Jesus was on their side. Jesus was from a group of people that they considered to be the other side. And they didn't want to have anything to do with him. But when they realized, through the testimony of Legion, that Jesus was really on their side, then they were open to him coming. Because the people realized that God cares for the other side. And so Jesus starts to break down this barrier between us and them. Just to add to this a little bit more, Jesus does, we often talk about the miracle of Jesus. Jesus does some incredible miracles with food. And a tale of two luncheons. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Could be more than that, but it tells us in Scripture that it was at least 5,000 people. And so he does this miraculous work with five loaves and two fishes, and he feeds all these different people. In this story, Jesus tells us that there are 12 baskets left over, one for each tribe of Israel, showing that God was reaching out to reach all his people. But there's another story, and some have thought, oh, this is a little bit different. There's a story in Mark chapter 8 where Jesus feeds 4,000 people. Where does this story happen? Well, this story happens on the other side. Jesus is on the other side of the lake, and Jesus performs the same miracle that he performed on the one side of the lake, and now he does it on the other side of the lake. Seven baskets left over in this story, not 12, but seven. And what did we say earlier? There were seven Canaanite tribes that were on that side. And so what is God saying to these people, these seven tribes? I'm going to reach you as well. And so here, Jesus is making a very clear point by doing a miracle on one side of the lake and doing the exact same miracle on the other side of the lake. Jesus is breaking down the barrier between us and them. The question we have to ask ourselves is that whose side are we on? Do we have some us and them stuff that's going on? I think we do. Let me explain. We are naturally, as human beings, side takers. That we automatically take sides on different issues. If you ever want to know if human beings are side takers, go on to social media for a little while. I have one friend who does this. He posts stuff and he's just trying to create controversy. That's what his goal is. And people buy it hook, line, and sinker. And so they get into these big, big arguments, and he loves to stir the pot up. Why? Because he knows that we as human beings are side takers. And it happens so easily. There was a study that was done a number of years ago where they had a camp of boys. And so it was a boys' camp. And so what they did was when you arrived, they put you in two different groups. There was Group W and Group X. And so right from the beginning, even though it was randomly done, there was no rhyme or reason to what boy got into what group. They automatically put them in groups from the very beginning. And so then they did a little study about these groups. And so what they did was they came up with this plan. They were to give a boy from one group some money, and he had to divide the money between two boys from different groups. And so you had some money, and then he had one boy from Group W and one boy from Group X. And you'll never guess what they discovered. The goal was to do it this early, before they even did any events together or built camaraderie or like-mindedness and all these different things, was they wanted to try to see if they could build a baseline in order to be able to build the rest of the study on it. They couldn't even do it, because from the beginning, as soon as they placed him in a group, they started to show favoritism to their own group. And they almost all, without exception, if you were a Group W person and you had to give money to the two groups, you favored your own group. If you were from Group X, you showed favoritism to your own group. And these were just randomly set up groups. And so they started to show favoritism to their group without any outside stimulus besides being just divided into a group. Because boys will discriminate against any other boys as soon as they are placed in a random group. Now, ladies, you're probably thinking, well, we wouldn't do that. Same study, girls, same results. We are naturally side takers. And Jesus wants to make the point to us that he was a man for all sides. That Jesus was not about sides. All throughout the New Testament, Jesus had interactions with Samaritans. Now, Samaritans, again, was another us. It was the Jewish people, and then it was the Samaritans. Us versus them. And Jesus has a number of interactions with the Samaritans. Now, this story I find to be incredibly, incredibly funny. The Samaritans, another side group, the disciples and Jesus come up to an unwelcoming Samaritan town. So they're going through this, and the Samaritan town is very unwelcoming because Jesus, again, is from the other side. And so Jesus is wanting to have some ministry there, but the Samaritan town said, nope, not going to do it. And so as they leave this unwelcoming Samaritan town, the disciples say to Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? So they leave this. You don't see this any other place in Scripture where the disciples, in response to something like that, decide that they're going to call down and destroy this group of people. So here's my thoughts. You know, people always wear those what would Jesus do bracelets. You know, and they try to figure out what their behavior is going to be about what Jesus would do. The disciples actually thought, when they thought about what would Jesus do, they asked Jesus permission to completely smite this group of individuals by calling down fire on them. That's what they thought was WWJD. Let's call down fire. This is, and their conclusion was, this is what our side does when we are unwelcomed by the other side. And what does Jesus do? Jesus rebukes them. And he says, no, that is not the way that we behave. That is not what Jesus would do. Jesus has a number of other Samaritan stories. Jesus befriends a five-time married Samaritan woman at the woman at the well and has an interaction with her, and her life is changed as he offers her living water. And so Jesus ministers to this woman. He healed 10 lepers. Only the Samaritan came back and said, thank you. And so Jesus, again, is putting them in a positive light. His story and the hero of who is his parable about who's my neighbor. The hero is the Good Samaritan. A lot of these other races have been completely forgotten, but not the Samaritans. Why? Because of the Jesus' story about the Good Samaritan. And it's, so it's a phrase that is used in general public. You know, this is different cities have Good Samaritan laws because of Jesus' story. And so Jesus, in his interactions with people and in his stories, what is he doing? He's breaking down the barrier between us and them. Jesus is trying to remove us and them thinking. Jesus doesn't want that kind of thinking. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, who is our them? Who are the people that we have a difficult time loving and accepting? Who are those peoples? And oftentimes, let me give you a few examples. Is it someone whose political ideology is different than yours? There are a lot of people who view anybody who has a different political view of them as the other side, and they have no problem insulting them, putting them down, posting negative things. They have no problem doing that. Maybe your them is somebody who is politically thinks different than you. Is it someone whose ethnicity, socioeconomic, or religious background is different than you? You know, there are different political ethnical groups that are out there. Do you have a certain ethnic group that you have a hard time accepting them, that you have some presuppositions about them? Maybe it's their economic background. You know, maybe if there are people out there that, you know, they don't have much money, or they're on welfare or ODSP or something like that, and you just think that they should get a job. You know, maybe there are those people that, you know, you have a hard time with, that are from a different social or economic background than from where you are. Maybe it's a different religious group that's out there. And we have a hard time with that. Or maybe it's somebody whose morality is different than you. That maybe there are some things that you just go, I don't agree with those moral issues in their life. And so I have a really hard time with them. You know, Don Cherry got himself into a fair amount of trouble by using the phrase, you people. But sometimes I do have to ask myself the question of who is my you people. Now we can argue from probably even using that as an illustration is, again, a polarizing thing. It was very polarizing. There were so many people who were in favor of Don Cherry. There were so many people who were against Don Cherry. And so what did we do? We divided into us and them. But all of us need to acknowledge the fact that we probably have you people in our lives. And Jesus tells us that he came to eliminate that us and them mentality. Jesus said, love your enemies. And sometimes that takes recognizing it. Most of us are able to recognize very easily in other people when they have some you people issues. But it is very hard to recognize in ourselves and acknowledge the fact that I have these issues and I need to recognize them, and then I also need to repent of it. God, would you help me to be able to deal with these issues that cause me to be polarized against other people? So Jesus says about love your neighbors, but you also have to love your enemies. And oftentimes our enemies are those who we disagree with. So can you recognize it and repent from it? Also understand that love forgives. You know, oftentimes when somebody does something bad in our lives to us, it's very easy to hold on to that. And we justify it. You know, I'm justified in feeling that way. They did something wrong to me, and they deserve that, and I am not going to forgive them. And so I am right, they are wrong, us and them. And Jesus says that we have to forgive. That's what he does on the cross. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Stephen, as he's being pelted with stones in Scripture, in the book of Acts, looks out at the crowd and he says, Father, forgive them. And probably if we were to look at it from a rational standpoint, do we really need to, do we have a right to be angry because people are doing inappropriate things? Yeah, we do. But Jesus says you need to set that aside, because unforgiveness is just going to lead to us and them thinking. And Jesus wants to take that away. And love goes to the other side. Jesus modeled this, even when he was here on earth. He modeled that he went to the other side and ministered to those people and brought healing to them. Jesus went to the Samaritans. He used them as illustrations to break down our barriers in regards to us and them. The Old Testament has stories like this too. The story of Ruth in Scripture is a story of somebody who wasn't from Jewish descent. They were from the other side, and how God used them. Rahab was another example of somebody who was from the other side, and God used them. Even from the Old Testament, God was laying the foundation that there was no us or them. And Jesus also said in this passage of Scripture to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Love prays. And this needs to be our first response when we run into people who we disagree with, that we don't like their views, we don't like something about them or who they are, whatever the case is. Jesus says you need to pray first. Pray. You need to pray for these people. That sounds funny. I need to pray for you people. In the Old Testament is a great prayer, or a great call to prayer. In 2 Chronicles 7:14 it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. I love this prayer, but it has some things that we need to do in the midst of it. And I think it ties very well with the us and them thinking. We need to humble ourselves. Say, you know what? I'm not right all the time. What I think is not always right. And some of my thinking that way, I need to humble myself and I need to be more accepting of people. So I need to humble myself and I need to pray and I need to seek God first. God, what's your view on this? And for some of us, it talks about turning from our wicked ways. You know, we think of probably all these grandiose sins that might be causing a problem, and that could be the case. But one of the most insidious sins that we have in our world today is buying into us and them thinking. And we need to ask God to help us to be able to remove that and to be able to live in obedience to what Jesus modeled. Jesus modeled and he taught, love your neighbors and love your enemies. There is no us and them. So what about you? What about you? As we close off the message for today, is there somebody, a group of people that you wrestle with, that you have a hard time accepting who they are? Maybe God is calling you to obedience, to destroying that us and them thinking that we often buy into. Happens so easily. We can just put people in two groups and all of a sudden they start to divide up and start to persecute each other. What about you? Ask God to help you to be able to change your thinking and remove us and them thinking from our lives and go to the greater call which Jesus calls us to, which is the call to love. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is something that is so easy and so natural for us to fall into. We fall into us and them thinking. And God, you want to deliver us from that. You modeled how you wanted to take down that thinking and move to a greater thinking, a new commandment I give unto you, love one another. That's the call that you call us to. And Father, may you help us to be able to love the way that you loved and to break down the barriers that have caused us to move to us and them thinking. Father, deliver us, help us in the midst of our difficulties to do what you said to do, which was love our enemies and then pray. Pray for those people who persecute us and put us down. Pray for those people. Don't retaliate, but to pray. And the promise of your word says that if we pray, then you will come and do a great work of healing in our land. Father, we pray that you would do that great and awesome work of healing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we want to close off the service with a song. And I love this song because it's a confession of how much we need God. And I confess that some of the things that we talked about today are not easy things, and you are going to need God's help in order to be able to help you. And so make this your prayer as we close the service. Lord, I need you.
Confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart, and you're the one that guides my heart. And Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense. so God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Song to rise to you when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
You made that your prayer today. Lord, I need you. And we do need his help in order to be the loving individuals that God has called us to be. Jesus himself said, they will know that you are my disciples, and Jesus said that, by our love for one another. And so may our interactions with other people be loving. Now, right now, we don't have a lot of time for interaction because, well, we're not supposed to. But we still interact with people online, through social media and different other forums like that. And let our behavior reflect the love of Christ in those forums as well. And so let's make sure that the love of Christ shines bright from our lives to all we have come in contact with. They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Well, I pray that you would have a great and awesome week. Let's continue to remain diligent in the area of social isolation so that we can get ourselves back into regular behaviors as soon as possible. God bless you. Have a great week. We have some time for interaction, so if you a little bit of discussion, or if you just want to interact with people before you go, so you can just join in on the conversation. And that's going to end in about 3 minutes or so. So again, have a great week. God bless you.